Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you live here on a Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Don't forget that radio.com app to catch us anywhere on the go. We know just like what I'm having to do, remote on some other device and things like that. So we certainly want you to take the radio station anywhere you can. Download the radio.com app to be able to hear us everywhere. Follow us on social media. I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. So I guess I could say I was wrong last year. I guess I'll admit to being wrong. I really went into last year thinking that when you looked at all of the weapons and having Devontae Freeman back, and obviously Austin Hooper and Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones and some new offensive linemen in place to really help Matt out and obviously try to protect him much more than they had in the previous year, I went in very much believing that Matt Ryan was going to have his best year ever and even rival what he was able to do in the Super Bowl season where he was the MVP of the league. You know, I thought with all the weapons that he had, and if you could keep him upright and they were still a pass first team, that 5,000 yards could be one of those benchmarks for Ryan. And it wouldn't have surprised me if he hit that. Now, plans change. As they say, as Vince McMahon would famously say, plans change. Things didn't quite go that way. You have a running game that was very deficient and couldn't get anything going. You had an offensive line that struggled to stay healthy and stay together. And even some of the guys that you did have and invest a lot of money in Carpenter and Brown, didn't play that well. So your offensive line was a mishmash all year long, where guys like Wes Schweitzer were playing and starting too much during the season. And anytime Wes Schweitzer starts more than one game for your team, that's 3.5 too many. And then obviously Mohamed Sanu gets traded during the season and things just kind of go wrong. And the offense never really found its rhythm. Matt had some really good games and Matt had some not so good games, and it just all kind of never clicked. Start with the Minnesota game and how that whole first series went. Think about that. Think about as ugly as it is. It feels like that the Falcons never recovered from the first four downs of offense that they played to start the season off with the Minnesota Vikings. Offense was stagnant. Remember, then there was a blocked punt on that first series. Nothing exactly went right for the Atlanta Falcons. But as we always say, hope springs eternal. The calendar changes over. And now that we've seen the Falcons, and we talked about this last night, dedicate so much resources to their offense and truthfully getting back to what they are. They're an offensive minded football team first. And I don't have a problem with that. That kind of is the way of the NFL. I mean, nobody's going to say that the Kansas City Chiefs are a defensive minded team first. They're all about their offensive personnel and putting maximum pressure on. And even as good at times as the Patriots defense is, they're still looked at as an offensive-minded team first. When you have Tom Brady at quarterback, that's what you are. Drew Brees in New Orleans, they're an offensive-minded team first. And when you have that elite-level type of quarterback, despite what anybody will tell you about your defense, you still are an offensive-minded team. So with that, as the Falcons personnel comes together, and at this point, I don't know that there's another personnel move on offense to be had, because I think that they will use in-house to get their left guard situation handled. So that will be taken care of by either Brown or Carpenter or Gonneau. I think one of those guys will shake themselves out to be the starter, so there's no additional there. We know the other four offensive line spots. We know what the tight end position is now because of the trade. We know what the running back position is. Now, even if they draft a guy, unless you tell me that they're drafting very high at running back, second, third round, you know, that player, if they draft him fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever, you know, and I think one of those rounds they don't have a pick in, but whatever it is, the point is a later round pick, that's not a guy who's going to get either a lot of playing time or is nothing more than a practice squad player. So I think by and large, the running back position is solidified. I mean, with Hill and Ito Smith coming back, maybe they don't rush him into it very much. You got Kadri Allison, who they drafted last year, and then, of course, Todd Gurley in the mix. Wide receiver? Well, if you think about it, they've got four guys that they really like. So there's this guy named Julio, plus Calvin Ridley, now Laquan Treadwell, and Russell Gage. It's the all-SEC all-SEC wide receiver position. And basically, Laquan Treadwell just replaces the spot that Justin Hardy, the best hands on the team, Mr. Same number of catches as what his jersey is, trying to see if he can catch more footballs than he does have a jersey. And by the way, that number was 14. So the wide receiver position, by and large, is finished. I don't know how much Treadwell can be on special teams as far as returning punts and kicks or whatever like that. They obviously did like what Kenyon Barner did last year, but I don't know how much, if Treadwell can aid in that or not. At this point, when you talk about the offensive personnel, what you see is what you get with the Atlanta Falcons. And now, if Dirk Koetter can use some guys in the right position, maybe while we went into last year, or how about this? While I went into last year thinking that this could be Matt Ryan's best season, and we didn't get that. We got at times a very, poor playing Matt Ryan. At times Matt Ryan was fantastic. At times Matt Ryan was not so great. But I'm hoping and feeling, and I'm going to speak it into existence, as people say, that this is Matt's season, that he gets back to that MVP type of level, that he gets back to having that dynamic offense. Because there's no question about one thing in the NFL, and we've gone over this several times with you all before, that when your quarterback has that MVP caliber type of season, you're going to win a lot of football games. And you're going to be in the position to not just win a lot of football games during the regular season, but you're going to put yourself in a position to win lots of playoff games. You know, by and large, a guy like Lamar Jackson is the exception, not the norm. You know, it's one of those situations where normally when you have the MVP, you have the MVP of the league, that usually means you're either in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, or at least in the game that takes you to the Super Bowl. Well, that didn't happen for Lamar Jackson this past year. You know, obviously, you know, he got knocked out earlier in the playoffs. But when you think about the Pat Mahomeses, and anytime you go down the history of the league, since Terry Bradshaw in 78 or 79, I believe, when he was MVP of the league, you look, when you've got the quarterback that's the MVP of the league, take Cam Newton, take Matt Ryan, take Pat Mahomes, take Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, when you have that guy, Pat Mahomes, when you have that guy with that kind of season, you're typically at that game that is most important. And so I'm going to speak it into existence that we're about to see, vintage Matt Ryan from that Super Bowl year, that this offense comes together and we get the Matt Ryan that I think we really hope for. I hope for, I know, certainly going into last season, to have the guy that is the leader of this team and, helps you win ball games. And there were times last year when Matt's play was questionable. Now, there were times when Matt Ryan did not play like a borderline Hall of Fame guy. He did not play like a guy who looked like he should still be in the prime of his career. He had his missteps. But when Matt Ryan is on, at times, he's one of the main reasons that you find a way to win out there. So we'll speak it into existence here on this show that it would not surprise me to see Matt Ryan have a year that rivals his Super Bowl year. Pushing toward that 5,000-yard mark, pushing toward that mid-30s, low-30s touchdown number again. What was the MVP season? 35 touchdowns, 7 picks? You know, if that interception number can come down, you know, if he can be back into, you know, a mid-single digits type of interception season, then this offense will really be dynamic. And we talked about last night, if Todd Gurley finds a way to get 12 rushing touchdowns, oh yeah, this will be a dynamic offense. Because now you can use him and Treadwell and guys in all different ways. You got lots of, you know, you talk about the wide receiver position. You've got size, you got speed, and you got guys who can catch the football as well. And, you know, even a guy like Russell Gage, who may not be, you know, more than just a fourth option at wide receiver, you saw that if he gets an opportunity, can find a way to help you make some plays and try to get your football team a little bit better. So, you know, a lot of this season is going to really hinge on how good Matt Ryan is, because I think the formula, like we said last night, is like what 2016 is. Play really dynamic offense and be at least able to sack the quarterback. Maybe you don't stop a lot of teams. Maybe you still give up lots of yards. Maybe you still give up a decent amount of points. But if nothing else, if you can be a team that can score a good bit on your own on offense and you can sack the other team's quarterback, you can win. You can win. That's kind of how the formula was. It wasn't a beautiful defense in 16. By the way, they also played some bad offenses in 2016 as well. Go back and look at some of the offenses that they played against. There were some not very good teams that they played, especially down the stretch in that Super Bowl season. Not taking anything away in the NFL because, look, the NFL is all about wins and losses. Doesn't matter who you play. You know, there's no style points or anything like that. You take on the guy that's in front of you, pull up a W, and that's what you get. You know, the result, the net result is the net result out of all of it. So, if the Falcons are going to get in that Super Bowl, you know, mix again, you know, Matt's going to have to be one of those key guys. Matt's going to have to be that guy again that gets back to that level himself, you know, and gets back more to the 2016 Matt Ryan versus sometimes, you know, even the 2017, 2018 Matt Ryan that we saw. All right, when we get back, you know, we're watching cancellations go left and right. When do we think that actually we will get back to regular sports and get back to seeing competition on the field, team versus team out there? Talk about some of that next. Chuck Reed hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night from Parts Unknown, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back on the John Chuck Reed Show. Coming to you again from Parts Unknown. Hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night, 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the program. Give us a follow on social media. Station's all at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Don't forget that radio.com app. More than ever, it's important to download that so that you can catch us on the go. You can get all your news. We'll talk here at the 8:20 with Alicia Roberts from CBS 46. So, you know, trying to keep you guys in the know, and gals, keep you in the know about everything that is going on. So, you know, we keep getting more and more, unfortunately, events that are being canceled, delayed, what have you. So the latest, of course, is the Olympics, which was supposed to take place starting on July 24th in Tokyo. We now know, which was, the whole scenario was kind of interesting because the IOC president, I think his name is Dick Pound, I think is what the guy's name is. He came out and said that they were, and that's a real name, by the way. That's not a made-up name. I don't know if Jarvis dumped that or not, but that's actually his real name. They came out and said that they were going to take 4 weeks to make a decision about the Olympics. And then literally like a day or two later, the Canadian team said they couldn't practice. They weren't going to be part of it. The Australian team said that they were not going to be part of it. I know the U.S. swim team had some concerns about trying to train and practice. So you started having nations that were getting ready to just start pulling out from all of it. And it forced the hand of Tokyo. And we talked about last night, their basketball league, to try to start back up to disastrous results. So, literally like a day or two later, we're getting that, okay, the Olympics are going to have to be postponed. They're going to be postponed to next year, 2021. I think this is the first time since World War II that the Olympics will be postponed. So obviously, lots of changes. We don't know about baseball. You know, we keep hearing that MLS hopes by mid-May, but you know, I think there's a lot of hope and faith in some of this stuff. Now, the NFL has said they're going to roll right along, which, yeah, that, they can do that. They don't have to worry about being on field, truthfully, until we get more into summertime. And, you know, they'll probably take a look, you know, at all of that. But, you know, you really start to wonder because Greg Sankey has been very open, the SEC commissioner, about the idea of, you know, well, what's going to happen with media days, or, you know, they haven't 100% committed to playing football this fall. And it does make you start to wonder about when we will get sports back, when we will get sports back on a full-time basis. I think at this point, the idea of the NBA coming back at all, I think is toast. Now, I'm sure they said the owners wanted to get with Adam Silver 30 days after the season was postponed at that time and reevaluate. And I'm sure they would definitely love to get the idea of getting the NBA playoffs in. But the idea that anytime soon, even if some sports try to come back, the idea that fans will be allowed in or be a part of it, I think is just not realistic for a while. And probably not till fall. You know, even if you get data back that supports the idea of trying to level off the curve or flatten the curve, as they're saying in the medical community, the idea that things will get up and running and just kind of return to normal very quickly, you know, there'll be some fear factor and some scare and things like that. I think it's going to be a while. Now, maybe Major League Baseball decides to start their season back, but I'm not going to be surprised at all at this point that there are no fans in the stands. It's not going to surprise me at all if they come back and by the way, there was a game a few years ago in Baltimore when they had some of those riots and things like that in Baltimore, protesters and stuff like that, I want to say it was the White Sox maybe, but there was an afternoon game played in Camden Yards, and the White Sox, that's the team I kind of just remember was that, but whatever team was, say the White Sox versus the Orioles in an empty stadium. And there were reporters there and everything like that, but it was a strange environment. And that may be the norm for a while. You know, we expect the Masters, probably not realistically to fall. We talked about that story last week with you, that, you know, September, October, when the course opens back up, because, you know, here in, what, about less than 2 months, Augusta National will close for the summertime because they're a winter course. You know, they start opening in October and play through about what, May, early mid May, somewhere around in that range. So we've got a while. You know, I think the hope was maybe, you know, things would kind of come back, you know, quickly, but you know, baseball kind of took the lead and said, look, the CDC is saying 8 weeks before you get group time activities put back together. Well, you know, that's mid late May, and unless you're telling me that here in the next 2 weeks baseball is going to start back up with at least spring training, I don't see that happening. It doesn't feel like, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't feel like the situation we're in is where things are kind of starting to level out. Things are starting to flatten out. It feels like at this point that we're still on the uptick and more states are going to mandatory quarantine. We'll talk about this with Alicia, you know, certainly the statement from Governor Brian Kemp, and then, you know, Mayor Bottoms had kind of piggybacked off it and kind of even amped it up a little bit more. You're seeing governors across the country that are shutting things down, like Mike DeWine in Ohio. I know the governor of North Carolina shut down all in restaurant dining and stuff. So we've got a ways to go just to even kind of get people back together. Forget about the idea of sports and things like that. You know, the idea of that group setting together, you know, just to even get guys back to practicing or being allowed to mingle with one another, being able to, you know, even practice with one another in a group setting. I think we're a ways away. And unfortunately, I don't think that we're going to see anytime soon any sports. If somebody told me that, you know, we wouldn't get any professional sports before Memorial Day, that's probably where I would lean toward. I think a best case scenario right now with what these leagues are looking at would be sometime in after Memorial Day. And I know MLS kind of talked about, you know, they were hoping to get back about mid-May or something like that. But, you know, if you're not able to train and able to practice, how are you going to start playing games? You certainly don't want to run guys out there cold and they haven't had a chance to have some practice time and to get their legs and get their sea legs back underneath them. Not that everybody's getting fat and sassy, but the reality is that you haven't had a chance to be in that, you know, in that running shape and in that season shape. You know, Atlanta United all of a sudden cranks out a whole bunch of matches in a short period of time and then it's dead stop. And it wasn't a matter of guys are coming in and out. No, they shut the facilities down. Now, these sports teams were shutting the facilities down. I think it was only this week that the Falcons facility even came back open to people. So more than just the fans and, you know, having 20, 30, 60, 80,000 people, you know, in the stands. You know, as crazy as it may sound, NASCAR may be one of the things that gets back the soonest. You know, if you talk about a sport that, first of all, they canceled about as late as they possibly could with their race here in Atlanta. I think they held out hope for as long as they could. But if you talk about the one sport that maybe has that rebellious nature or, you know, maybe doesn't always follow the lead of some others, it might be NASCAR. I know they did a simulated race this weekend and all that, trying to get some things going and stuff like that. But, you know, I could see something like NASCAR. Empty stands, just bring the trailers in, bring the trucks in, run the cars and everything out there. Obviously, it's not, you know, any kind of real risk, you know, not like, you know, 10 guys on a basketball court or, you know, 22 guys on a football field or, you know, 9 guys together plus, you know, umpires and batters and stuff like that, you know, on a baseball diamond. You know, it's guys and cars. You know, they're already, you know, behind that steering wheel, they're already practicing their social distancing from all of it. Even when they're rubbing up on somebody's bumper, you know, still separated, you know, from the two at 100 and, you know, whatever, 60, 80 miles an hour around the track. So it might be actually NASCAR that we see back sooner rather than later once some of the hysteria dies down and people are, you know, we kind of see some flattening. But I really do believe that, you know, if we get into June, those could absolutely be the first times that we start to catch any live sports. And the idea of crowds, you know, it might be football season before we see crowds, you know, as the weather changes and we get into fall and we've had several months, you know, for people to be able to kind of self-quarantine and get themselves better and things. You know, I could see it being a scenario where football season is when you get crowds back. And that just may be the new reality for it. I mean, and the Olympics are one of those things that I understand just simply because when you look at what has happened in some of the other nations, you look at what's going on in Spain and Italy and different places around the globe, obviously what's happened in China and some of the other Southeast Asia nations that are out there. The idea of them getting up to speed and having an Olympic competition, even though I thought that they should have probably waited a little bit and at least evaluated some more of the situation, especially after we heard all the kind of bragging about some of those Southeast Asian basketball leagues that were ready to start back up out there. And, you know, Tokyo didn't want to have to do that. I mean, Tokyo did everything they could to try to keep the games on. I mean, when you talk about the revenue loss, even the IOC, for instance, you know, the IOC won't get paid until NBC starts airing Olympic events. Well, no, that's a whole nother year. It's not a matter of that NBC sends them checks at a time over the course of the summer to get ready. It's once the games start that they start to see some money for all of that. So I want to be optimistic, and I want to say that we'll get some things back sooner rather than later. But I think as you look, and everybody is much more of the mindset of let's cancel first, then we can always go back. I think with that being the mindset of a lot of folks, then, you know, the reality of no sports for a while and certainly no crowds for a while is going to have to be something that we're getting used to, something that we're not going to see for a while. And it's a, you know, it's obviously a shame because we're moving into, you know, spring. We're a few days into spring. You know, we'll be into summer before you know it. And it's that, you know, these months of April, May, and you get into June. I mean, people want to be outside. They want to watch baseball. They go to races. You're playing tennis. All those things that you're doing through the summertime, you know. getting out and doing things, you know, as groups and things like that. So, but we'll see. I'm very curious as to when baseball, you know, and the NBA at least start to put back on the table the idea of setting some dates and some deadlines for when they may decide to come back. All right, so we get to the top of the hour, and we can take some of your phone calls as well if you want to jump in. But Cam Newton, as the Carolina Panthers have released Cam Newton, and he had some things to say about it. Talk a little bit about his legacy. What does he have left? What has he meant, you know, in the NFL? You know, what is his legacy about it? I don't think that he would be a Hall of Fame player, but some people may argue and disagree with all of that. So we'll talk about Cam Newton and his legacy coming up next at the top of the hour. It's the John Chuckwa Show. We're hanging out with you here from Parts Unknown on a Tuesday night. Hang out with you to the full 4 to 11 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.